You're on with Mario Lopez.
What's up, y'all? Mario Lopez joining me now in studio from Freeform's The Bold Type, Emmy-nominated actress Melora Hardin. How are you, Melora?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. You look fantastic. Smell amazing.
Thank you so much.
I wish we had like a scratch and sniff through the mics right here. Everyone can see you.
Scratch and sniff, you're... Melora. Now that's a whole other thing.
You're now on my Mount Rushmore of best smelling celebrities.
Oh my. I feel
really
very honored.
That.
Thank you.
That's a big deal right there.
That is a big deal.
So you were recently in Beijing.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I just got back like 4 days ago, actually.
Business pleasure.
My oldest daughter is doing her junior year of high school there. Study year abroad.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Why did she choose Beijing?
Well, because she is a very adventurous soul, and because she had been studying Mandarin and she liked the idea of getting really fluent with Mandarin.
Wow.
And I think living with the host family and everything, like learning a new culture, you really become a world citizen. You do something like that. So I think that was intriguing to her. Also scary, no doubt about it. It was a challenge and scary, but
absolutely,
and hard to, like, you know, to think about doing it, but she did it and she's doing it with flying colors. And she comes back in a month and wow, she's speaking Mandarin so fluently. And she's 6 feet tall and gorgeous and an actress too. And so I'm kind of hoping maybe she'll get to do a movie and use her Mandarin, you know, because she's a wonderful actress. She's worked. She did a movie called I Kill Giants, and she's really, really talented. And I just kind of feel like, you know what I mean? Like, that could be fun. Like, do some kick-ass movie where she's like speaking Mandarin and, you know,
literally
using her height and kicking ass. That's what I mean. Literally kicking ass and like speaking fluent Mandarin. And
wow. That's very impressive.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So, thanks. It's really exciting.
Very cool. Also, congrats. Season 3 of The Bold Type recently premiered. So what's going on with Scarlet Magazine?
Yeah, it's good. It's, you know, tomorrow night is going to be Jacqueline Carlyle, my character's 10th anniversary as the editor-in-chief of Scarlet Magazine. So it's kind of an interesting episode for her, and lots of good things to come. We have a new character that gets introduced tomorrow night as well. And he's a very good foil, let's say, for Jacqueline in some way respects.
You play the boss, of course, on the show. Do you find yourself like mentoring the other actors?
You know, I do feel that it's part of my job to hold the intention that I want people to arrive at work with. So I try to be the person that I want everyone to. I try to live by actions.
By
I lead by example, and I do take that seriously, though. I do think that's important, and I also find that, you know, people that do that on sets, I mean, I've been acting professionally since I was 6 years old. So I have been on so many sets, right? I've seen stars of shows hold a kind of grace and a kind of integrity about their job and about their professionalism and also their craft.
Right.
And then I've seen the ones that don't do that. And I just, I really, really believe that you have to do that. You have to take that seriously. And I do take that seriously.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I love that you're a former child actor too.
Yeah.
I always root for those. Because it's difficult making that transition.
It is.
Who would you say mentored you in your career?
Well, both my parents are actors. And so my dad's Jerry Hardin. People know him from The X-Files and lots of other things. But my mom is a very famous acting teacher who taught like the likes of Leonardo DiCaprio and Jessica Biel, and was also a manager, and, you know, tons and tons of kids, River Phoenix and Joaquin Phoenix, all the Phoenix kids. And, you know,
those are some fun facts
right
there. So was it inevitable or did they, did they push you? Was it just something they said and you just fell in love with it?
I actually
begged. Your blood, obviously.
Yeah, I begged. I went with my dad to his commercial agents when he was dropping off new headshots and they said, "Oh, you're so cute. Don't you want to do what dad does?" And I was like, yeah.
You know? Took, huh?
And I just tugged on their sleeves, and because they are actors, they both were like, "Oh God, you know, so much rejection." We know, you know, because people think that, you know, anyone that wants to be an actor just can become an actor, right? And it just isn't.
And
like
by the
that.
Way, just because mom and dad are,
just because mom and dad are, doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Right? So they were like, "Oh God," and I bugged them so much. They thought, "Well, we'll let her go on 10 auditions. If she doesn't get anything, we'll ease her out of it. She'll never know the difference." And I was a very serious ballerina. Like, I was, by the time I was 5, I was telling you I was going to be a ballerina for my life. So I was already pretty focused on that. And they let me go on my first audition. And of course I got it. So So I didn't get to ease out of it. And then when I didn't get things, I guess they just gave me the skill set to deal with rejection. And that's so important. Yeah. And my dad took incredible care of my money. Like, I'm so grateful for that, you know? And so I...
Sounds like awesome parents.
I kind of had awesome parents.
Are you native, Angelina?
I was raised here from the time I was five. I was born in Texas, though.
Okay. Yes. But yeah, 5 years old. Okay. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So your parents are from Texas originally.
My dad is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What part? My mom. Well, he was born. Was he born? His parents lived in Mesquite and Beaumont.
Okay.
I'm not really sure which part of Texas he was born in. I need to ask him that.
Yeah, but you're an Angelino.
Yes. Yes. I consider myself that.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Well, we're all fans of The Office here. These guys are super fans.
That's
right
always good to hear.
And of course, you played Jan Levinson.
Yes.
Did you have a favorite particular moment or stretch on the show?
I mean, the dinner party episode is an amazing episode for Jan. Yeah, because I just got to unravel so much and you know, got to be so many layers of joy and hell mixed together. And it was a bit hellish filming that episode because we were in a little condo out there in the valley and it was just a terrible heat wave. And we had to keep turning the air conditioning off because it was a tiny little condo. I mean, it really was tiny. As tiny as it looks, it is that tiny and maybe even tinier. And so, you know, it was just scorching hot and the air conditioning had to keep going off. So we were just sitting there all sweating while we're doing comedy.
Right.
So, you know, comedy, usually you go into any comedy stage and it's freezing because everyone wants to
hang
meat. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You want to get the energy up.
You can hang meat. That's right. But man, this was just, whoo, we were just all cooking in there and having to have all that energy.
Yeah,
that's right.
Isn't it amazing how so many years later, too, we were just talking about it's the number one stream show on Netflix.
It's the number one stream show on Netflix.
When you hear that, wow, what do you think?
I know. I have more fans now. And younger fans than when the show was actually on the air.
Yeah,
it's got a huge cult following, and you know it's really great for our show, for The Bold Type, because actually the demographic that really is meant for The Bold Type
carry over
is actually my fan base now. They're all like in their 20s. They're all just crazy for The Office, crazy for Jan, crazy for, and you know, when they find The Bold Type and they know I'm on it, they're crazy for that too, because it's a great show.
Would you ever consider a reboot or any sort of reunion show?
Well, you know what I think they should do is I think they should do a movie, because if they did a movie, they'd get everybody back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't do a show. I'm doing The Bold Type.
Right.
You know, I can't be on another series.
They recently did that with Deadwood, by the way. The series I loved on HBO.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a great series. They're doing a movie.
Oh,
it's coming out May 31st.
Oh, great.
So
I think that's an example of
what, and they got everybody back.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, that would be super fun for everyone.
Yeah.
All of my storyline was around Michael Scott. And Steve's not going to be coming back to do a reunion show of The Office, I don't think.
Yeah,
maybe,
not for
but
a
maybe
season.
A movie.
But a movie, I think he would do.
I think he might do that,
you know? Yeah. And then you could have not only him, but you could have some of the others that come in. James Spader and, you know, it'd be super fun.
That would be fun. That's
be crazy.
Cool. This
you
is also
could
fun.
Even, you could even get...
oh, now you're casting. I like
it. Yeah. That's right.
Let's make this happen.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But I thought this was cool when I read this. You were originally cast in Back to the Future, but producers thought you were too tall to be Michael J. Fox's girlfriend. I've experienced that.
You have?
Being too tall with playing opposite Chuck Norris.
Oh,
I don't think I've ever told you guys that story.
No, you have not.
No, I've not told you guys that story. That's for another day.
Yeah.
But anyway, is that true?
Make a note of that.
That's true.
Really? Isn't that great? Like, welcome to Hollywood.
But you know
it's
what?
Not about those. It's a perfect example of like, it doesn't matter if you're the best actress or
so
right, but literally something like
but is that,
being too tall.
Was it because he came along later? Because it originally was going to be Eric Stoltz, right?
Right. Yeah, I was cast opposite Eric, who I had known just because we both had been in the business. And I thought he was a fabulous actor. I still think he is. And kind of had a little crush on him, if I'm really being honest. So I was very excited.
There would have been chemistry there.
There was chemistry there. I was very excited about working with him. And then when they brought Michael J. Fox in, and I just found this out. This is like a little tidbit that I just found out about 6 months ago because someone's writing a book about this. And the guy called me and he said, you're my last interview. And did you know that, you know, that Bob Gale and Bob Zemeckis had no problem with you being taller than Michael J. Fox? It was the female executives that felt it was emasculating for him to have a taller girlfriend.
Wow. Really?
Now, the reason
so much for female empowerment.
But here's why I bring this up. So that was 1987. Something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because the first movie was based in 88. So yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I think 1987. We're in 2019. I'm on the Bold Type. And on the Bold Type, we talk about things like this all the time. And I don't think there'd be a woman executive today that would be able to say something like that out loud. I really don't. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have a long way to go as females in general in the culture, because we do, and we're working towards that. And I think that people are way more aware of that now. But I will say that, like, there is some change. There is some movement. You wouldn't see, and the reason those film, the reason those female executives felt the pressure to say that, think about that, because they were in a man's world. They were thinking in a very masculine way. That is not a female thing to ever think. I can't think of one woman in today's world right now that would be like, what? A woman that's taller than a man? That emasculates him, right?
But with all due respect, there's a lot of women who casually say, I can't date a guy that's shorter than me. A lot of women say that, which I don't...
Even today? Even
yes. Really? By all the time. We interview all the time. I just wouldn't want to... They say very cavalier.
Oh,
and so it's very... And it's not... And you stop and think about it. Situations where, you know, I can't date a guy that's shorter than me. And if this guy doesn't have... With the hair and whatever. It's very cavalier. So I don't know why it's accepted. There's a bit of a double standard. So
no,
it's accepted.
Absolutely. I agree.
I can imagine, especially then. But you would think times have changed a lot. Not in that regard. That's still a very ha-ha...
That's interesting.
...moment. That, right? Well, that accepted. They're very...
But that,
they'll
and that,
say that.
That brings me to the point of I think another thing that I love so much about the Bold Type is that it really is about women supporting women. And I do believe that women would get an idea like that. Where would they get an idea like that? Where would a woman get that idea? I think they would get that idea from feeling ashamed that they can walk in a more powerful position being taller than a man. And that they would, and they would then... That somewhere it has been ingrained in the female psyche that still in 2019 they're saying something like that to you flippantly in an interview.
Flippantly, yes.
is fascinating to me. And I do feel that that's part of what we're trying to do on the show, on the Bold Type. We are trying to sort of bring this picture, and I think successfully do bring this picture of what, you know, my character is a strong female boss who has integrity and who is kind. Even when she's challenged, I mean, even with this guy who comes onto the show tomorrow night, she's challenged by him, but she has such grace and such integrity dealing with him. She's never petty or backstabby or manipulative. She's just sort of like, she's just, you can see her wheels turning and the girls are there, the young ladies, I should say, you know, of Scarlett, Kat and Sutton and Jane, who are her kind of her main, you know, employees that she's kind of mentoring along. And they're there kind of, you know, watching her back and seeing what's going on there and kind of watching this and holding each other up. And it, there's just so much. And I do think that mindset comes from, you know, this long, long history of women kind of cutting each other down and women, you know, but I think that comes from a very patriarchal society where if you look at the way men are brought up to kind of like a man gets fired next to his buddy and his buddy goes, oh, bud, it's okay. Good for you. Like, you know what? It's fine. Move on. Like, let's go. We'll go help you get another job.
As opposed to.
Whereas a woman, you know, got fired. And the woman, the next woman behind would be scratching her way to move her out of the way because it was so much scarcity. There were not positions for women. And so it was like, you know, okay, you're fired. I'm, you know, and nowadays I think women are trying to say, you know what, you know, a little more of that male, like, you know, we all have opportunities. We're trying to make more opportunities, make more opportunities and for each other and collaborate in that together as women. Being able to say, like, let me give you a hand up. Let me give you a leg up. Let me mentor you. You know.
Well, I love to see that, especially having a daughter. I'm glad you brought
that's right.
All back, Melora.
Yes.
To the show.
How old is your daughter?
She's 8.
Okay, and I have 2 daughters. So yeah, we've got to do this as parents, right? It's very, very important that women. That's what I love the most about the Bold Type is that women get to see a picture. I get more comments on the street of people saying, I love the bold type and I love your character, especially because I look at her and I think, I want to be a boss like that, or I want a boss like that.
Exactly. You know, it's funny because quick point, as you mentioned, boss, when my daughter, who's very bright, like these guys, and she's very bright. And when I went to go have a parent teacher conference, the teacher goes, she was very advanced in all the stuff. And she goes, well, we don't want to say she's bossy, but whenever there's a strong woman, they always use the word bossy, which I don't think is very fair, just because you don't hear men say, oh, he's bossy. It's always usually words towards a woman. I always thought that was very interesting.
I've decided to claim bossy, by the way.
So don't take it with such a negative.
Well, because somebody just said that to me recently. I kind of was like you, I was kind of on that, you know, because Sheryl Sandberg says that in her book and Lean In. She talks about that, how like, you know, girls are called bossy, men are called. And actually, you really need to, everybody needs to listen to or read Barbara Streisand's speech at Women in Film in 19. Just look up Barbara Streisand Women in Film speech.
What did she say?
It's really quite extraordinary. Right. In fact, I like want to pull it up right now because she says things like that. She says like where a man is, a man who directs, produces, acts, is
assertive or multitasker.
Is like, amazing. A woman who directs, acts, and produces is, an overachiever. Or, like just the ball buster as compared to the, ambitious guy.
Yeah, and the labels
And the way she does it, it still applies today. Yeah. And it's something like 12 years ago or even more. And
that's interesting.
So it's really worth looking at. I mean, it's sort of a mantra that I have in my... that I think of a lot, especially for a father of a daughter. That's good. No.
And for the record, I like tall girls.
Yeah.
and I awesome. I would guess that Jan Levison would not have made that decision in taking you off that movie if she were in charge.
I don't think she would. Yeah. I agree. I think Jan Levison would have.
At least in the early parts of The Office.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Mallora, before I let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers, okay?
Okay.
Go to karaoke song.
Crazy Patsy Cline.
Last show you binge watch?
Downton Abbey.
Why you laugh? Is that it's not a comedy?
No.
Just okay. A guilty pleasure? Got it.
Yeah.
Celebrity crush growing up?
Sean Cassidy, Eric Stoltz. Sean Cassidy.
That's a legit one.
Yeah.
Most fun you've ever had on a set?
Oh my gosh. I have to say Transparent was pretty dreamy. Just because the actors and Jill Soloway, the creator, and the actors, just the amount of play, the amount of latitude we were given. Mm-hmm. If you throw a ball, everybody's there to catch it. Nobody says you didn't really do it like that last time.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, give it to me, give it to me. So lots of surprise, lots of fun.
And last question, if you were heading to the chair, what would your final meal be?
Lobster with lots of butter. steak.
Ooh.
And let's see, what else? Probably like a giant, very crispy, very fresh, organic, crispy, delicious salad.
A little bit of health right before.
That's funny. Yeah, I was waiting for something.
Salad and some surf and turf.
Okay. Salad and surf and turf it is. Meanwhile, watch The Bold Type Tuesdays on Freeform. You can follow her on Instagram at Mallora D. Harden. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. On with Mario Lopez. Woo!